Good morning. I'd like to begin today by reading Psalm 139. O Jehovah, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou searchest out my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Jehovah, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall overwhelm me, and the light about me shall be night, even the darkness hideth not from Thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst cover me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks unto Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Thy work, and that my soul knoweth right well. My frame was not hidden from Thee. When I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, Thine eyes did see my unformed substance, and in Thy book they are all written. Even the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are the thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Jehovah, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. They are become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The very structure of Psalm 139 presents at least four major portraits of God. In verse 1 through 6, God is pictured as all-knowing, omniscient. The psalmist declares that God knows everything about humans, not only as worshipers, but in our daily lives. God's knowledge of us is so intimate that He knows our every thought and action. God's scrutiny is so awesome that He misses nothing. In verses 7 through 12, God is pictured as everywhere present, omnipresent. No person can escape God's presence because God is everywhere, wholly present at the same moment with every one of His creatures. God is not bound by time, space, or matter. No matter which direction one travels, God is there. The psalmist is overjoyed to announce this guiding presence of God. In verses 13 through 18, God is pictured as all-powerful, omnipotent. God's power is presented by the psalmist as being not only all-inspiring, but protective. Of the many examples of the power the psalmist could cite, he focuses on God's creative power, with particular reference to mankind's form and being. God has formed man, verse 13. And has ordained His ways, verse 16. In verse 19 through 24, God is described as all-holy. He is the all-holy judge of the universe. God is all-righteous and cannot tolerate wicked men. In verse 23 and 24, a subset of this section, the psalmist appeals to God's sense of justice, mercy, and benevolence, and asks God to direct him in the everlasting way, verse 24. One author summarized the structure of this psalm as follows. God sees mankind, verses 1 through 6. He pursues mankind, verses 7 through 12. And He fashions mankind, verses 13 through 16. The psalmist loves God's thoughts, verse 17 and 18. He hates God's enemies, verses 19 through 22, and desires intimacy with God, verses 23 through 24. With the structure of Psalm 139 set before us, we turn to the details of the text. As the all-knowing God of the universe, verses 1 through 6, God is described as one who searches out man's being as one would dig for metals. God's searching is like a judge who scrutinizes evidence that is brought into court. It is fitting that in verses 2 and 3, the psalmist stresses that God knows us personally. He knows all of our movements and explores ahead of time the paths we will take. God traces out carefully all our ways. Astoundingly, verse 4 declares that our thoughts and our words are known by God even before they are uttered. Verse 5 suggests that our God encompasses us from before and behind. While this fencing in or besieging appears at first thought as burdensome, that God's hand is upon us, not to crush us, but rather to restrain us. to steady us, to help us in the direction we should go. The psalmist's confession of being unable to comprehend God's ways echoes the words of the Creator himself in Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the omnipresent Father of mankind, verses 7 through 12, God's domain is boundless. In all, the poet asserts that it doesn't make much difference which direction we take. We cannot overcome or out-travel God's presence. From the farthest point horizontally or vertically, we cannot escape God's care. These thoughts give us reason to rejoice. The inspired writing is overflowing with words of comfort, not terror. The all-powerful God of verses 13 through 18 is lauded as creator par excellence. Perhaps the most beautiful section of Psalm 139, the psalmist praises God's creative power and marvels at the human body. The psalmist is no pantheist, for he clearly distinguishes between the creator and the created things. This section is a marvel, exposing God as having created our inward parts, the seat of our emotions, and having done so while we were yet in our mother's womb. Andrew Fuller's commentary on Psalm 139:14 says, "The human frame is so admirably constructed, so delicately combined, and so much in danger of being dissolved by innumerable causes, that the more we think of it, the more we tremble and wonder at continued existence." The psalmist's praise in verse 14 is wonderful to contemplate. "I am awesomely, fearfully, and wondrously made." Listen to Paul's words in Romans 11:33-36. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past tracing out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall recompense unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory for ever. Amen." Verse 15 related our frame, our form, our very bones were all known to God as he intricately wove us together. The poet declares that God beheld our unformed substance, literally golem, for instance the embryo, and adds in verse 16 that God has formed our days before they have yet come. The works of God are a testimony to his power. Roy Deaver's comment is appropriate. "God made man as God wanted to make man, knows what is best for man, and he has reserved for himself the divine right to govern man." In verses 19 through 24, the all-holy God is petitioned. The writer views God's enemies as his own and desires that they be judged and punished by God, verses 19 and 20. The psalmist hates God's enemies, that is, he hates the evil and withstands it. The hatred in this passage is not spite, but zeal for God. Ever aware of God's holiness, the psalmist cries, "Search me, O God, and know my heart," verse 23. The psalmist trusts God to judge his heart, and intricately he petitions God to lead him in the way of everlasting, verse 23, the good old way, the way that endures. Now the portraits summarized. First, God is all-knowing. He knows all men thoroughly and constantly. His knowledge is underived and independent and clear and perfect. Second, God is personally present everywhere. He is influentially and intellectually present everywhere and is so acknowledged by the godly soul. Third, God is all-powerful. He possesses creative and miraculous power, Genesis 1:1 and Colossians 1:16. God has power to overrule and to ruin the governments of men, Acts 18:9-10, and Daniel 4:30-37. God has power to destroy and to bring to an end this physical world, 2 Peter 3:7-15. Yet, God also has power to save, revealed in the Gospel, Romans 1:16-17. Fourth, God has a perfect acquaintance with man. God created man wonderfully in his body, in his rational soul, and in the union of soul and body. Fifth, God is all-holy. Even his thoughts are precious and numberless. They are practical, original, and they influence our thoughts. Now some practical lessons. First, God's omniscience ought to restrain pride and sin in the hearts of his creatures. The sinner should be warned and should regard the impossibility of justification apart from God's way. God's knowledge of man ought to comfort us when we are misjudged. The knowledge should be a guarantee of our well-being. Second, God's omnipresence should lead us to humble thoughts of ourselves and exalted ideas of God. It should comfort and strengthen God's people in trial, loneliness, and duty. Third, the omnipotence of God should give us confidence in contemplating that last great day of judgment. Listen to what it meant to Paul as he waited his death at the hands of the Romans. "For which cause I also suffer these things," Paul said, "yet I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to guard that which I've committed to him against that day." 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. For, since God has a perfect acquaintance with men, we as his moral creatures are unveiled to his gaze. And there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. Fifth, God's perfect holiness demands our holiness. Love of good and hatred of evil should characterize followers of the all-holy God. Our integrity as God's children is also mandated. If there's any way that we can help you, would you please let us know? Until next week, may God bless and keep you.